rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for His name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
Alexandria, get ready. It's the 2025 edition of the Citywide Interdenominational Revival, featuring special guest evangelist, Dr. Tellus J. Chapman.
Get up, get out, get over, get on, and get ahead with our lives. If we will ever realize it, if we will ever see it, if we will ever experience it, I stop by to tell you tonight, something's gotta change.
The Citywide Musical is Monday night at 6:30, featuring the Citywide Adult Choir, Youth Choir, and the Family of Grace Praise Team at the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, 1116th Street in Alexandria, with your host, Pastor Roger Green Sr. And then you'll experience 3 nights of powerful preaching, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. It's the Citywide Interdenominational Revival at the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church on 16th Street in Alexandria. The Citywide General Chairman is Reverend Larry Turner. The co-chair is Reverend Wesley Lotz. The music chairman is Reverend Robert Lee. Don't miss this year's Citywide Interdenominational Revival, an underwriting sponsor of this station, and brought to you by Gata.
A non-attorney spokesperson.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When choosing a lawyer, it's important that it will be one that has compassion, empathy, experience, and is willing to fight for you. Attorney Jonathan Goins is that attorney. Attorney Goins grew up with humble beginnings and has always excelled in every part of his life. He is driven to succeed and works hard for his clients because it can become overwhelming getting slammed in a car wreck or an 18-wheeler smashing into you. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. For more information, the number is 318-787-5607. That's 318-787-5607. For Attorney Jonathan Goins, a proud sponsor of this station.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
The 21st chapter. I want to commence reading at verse 6. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt. Jesus laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. I have read from the New King James Version. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Ride on, King Jesus. Ride on, King Jesus. This is the beginning of Jesus' last week on earth. And he's leading and heading up to Jerusalem to die on the cross. He is getting ready to get in the place that God has assigned him from eternity's past to that optimal moment of what he has come to do, and that was to die. as he's coming near the city before Jesus, up until this point, Jesus had stayed out of the grips and grasps of the people and out of the city, inner limits, because he knew that his purpose was to do as God had ordered and ordained for him to do, and to give his life a ransom for many, to share and to show us how to live, but more especially to understand how and why he died and rose and empowers us to live life with victory. This is like throwing, as he comes into this community's now expectant eye of this Messiah, a match into gunpowder, because he's now knowing that they are ready to, the scribes, the high priests, those people who are ready to destroy him, are seeking him and looking for him. And he does not hide. He does not hide himself. He does not go under the radar. He now manifests himself in parade style with an audience that was befitting a king and yet fulfilling scriptures. There are three things that I want us to look at in these verses from verses 1 through 17. First, I want you to see the king's preparation. The king's preparation. And that's found in the first seven verses. And then we're going to move to verse 8 through 11, and you'll see the king's presentation. That's verses 8 through 11. But then you're going to see in verse 12 through 17, the king's proclamation. Now, I want you to see these things, because when you look at this, you're going to see Jesus officially presents himself as the Jews' Messiah, their king. Now, he wasn't presenting himself as the Romans' king, and he wasn't in competition with the other kings. He was simply making known officially that he was the Messiah of the Jews, the promised one. God had already given you this assignment, and now was the time to move him off the back streets, side streets, and put him on Front Street, and let them know that his time to broadcast who he was had come. Look again as we go back to verse 1 and see how this story unfolds. It says in the 21st chapter, verse 1, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying of them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me.'" Verse 3 says, "And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." It is suggested by those who have probed the text and know the underworkings of it that this man, who was one of many men used in the closing moments of Jesus' earthly life, that was one man who was used in his room for the upper room in the last Passover supper. That was again another man used for Jesus meeting with those in his last walk as he neared the ending of his life. Here this man is being used, and what he has as the resources that will fulfill scripture, where the word, and we'll go to it in just a moment, talks about he will sit on this donkey that had never been sat on before, used before. And some of the things we're going to see under the king's preparation is his power to complete scripture. Now, this is important because a lot of things Jesus did didn't make sense to the disciples outside of the knowledge of them understanding he was following a strict guideline, that his timing, that his temperament, and that he would be tested on and about would walk in the confinements of the Word of God. Everything he did it because it was prophesied. It was pre-prescribed. He knew what was supposed to happen, and he knew how to do his role and to play his role and to make sure others play their role. So when you know that, you'll discover that his power was there to complete Scripture. But you're also going to know, too, that he had power over nature, because there were things that Jesus did even before this moment that he did in the confines of nature to make everything fall within, again, the guidelines of Scripture. The miracles that he did in nature, with nature, defying nature, making sure that they understood that he was Lord over nature, showed that he was coming to this point for a purpose. And so when you recognize that, it would make sense that he would even bring in animals who, again, did not have the human intellect, but showing the power of Jesus to even include them in this sacrificial moment. It was animals whose blood was used to make an atonement. Jesus was going to be this sacrificial sheep, this lamb, the one to be the one that God had foreseen and made ready to take on all of man's sins and pay a price that man could not even pay for himself. And so knowing this, all of these things were brought into this climatic experience so that they would truly know Jesus is Lord. Now I want you to see this, my brothers and sisters, because when we move on into the text, the Bible says again in verse 3, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them. It is suggested this was a code, because the code was that Jesus, when the time had come for him to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he was going to need these animals. And if the Lord of the animal was not present, the owner, he left instructions with his servants that if anybody come and ask you about these animals and say, the Lord had need of them, loose them and let them go. So it was literally saying to the servants of the Lord that the Lord of the Lord has need of his stuff. And I got news for you. You might be a landlord, but the Lord is the Lord of the Lord who is over the land. And if he needs your house, you ought to say, here it is, Lord. If he needs your place, here it is. If he needs your transport, here it is. Whatever you have that God can use, if the Lord has need of it, it ought to be a code that you would release it and let it go. Listen at this. Verse 4 says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means to save now. And this saying had gone forth, and it was one of an olden past. And when kings would come in who were worthy of great victories and worthy of great accolades, they would receive them who came in the name of the Lord. They would cut down palm trees and branches, showing and parading them and their successes. And so this was done of great kings. And so because it was prophesied that Jesus was the King of the Jews and he was now being presented, what they were doing was in honor of their king. But everybody didn't feel like Jesus was their king. And so these were some of the people who had a hint of the prophecy, who understood, who were in expectation of the arrival of the Messiah and the king they anticipated. However, the mindset was a little different because they were looking for him to be a natural king, one to operate in the natural realm, not in the supernatural realm. They were looking for him to overthrow the king that was in the earth realm and to establish his kingdom in the earth realm for political and natural
natural causes. But what they missed was Jesus was simply identifying that he had come down here to let them know that he had been sent as their king to usher them into his kingdom and to bring them back into a right standing with God. And it had nothing to do with staying down here and establishing his kingdom. You see, my brothers and sisters, what you've got to learn is God's will is for God's glory, but it is for your good. And when we try to twist his will for our own good, we miss out on what God really is trying to do for us in a larger context. And so when Jesus knew that some of these knew, and even those that did know, were looking and thinking differently, it still didn't stop the fact that he was going to be paraded down the streets and recognized as the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, and let's move on, if you will, to verse 8, because here is the king's presentation. The Bible says, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. There were those who shouted it on his arrival, and those who followed shouted the same thing, because their shouting was alerting many and alarming others that the King of the Jews had finally come to town. So those who shouted before, just in case latecomers came and they missed what those in front were saying, the ones bringing up the rear say, in case you missed it, the King is here. And they begin to shout the same sayings. But I want you to note this, because there are two things that happens. First is verse 8 through 11 shares with us and shows to us his entry into the city. It was a kingly entrance. It was grand. It was royal. It pointed to the reality that he was king. Maybe he wasn't the king the world expected, but he was the king that the people of God in the real realm expected. Everything that God would do from that point on would happen after the king would set things in order. And so when you realize and recognize, he enters the city and he starts the flow of things that would lead to his Calvary experience. Now listen to this, because I want you to understand this. It is in this coming that he begins to set things in order. You see, up until this time, he allowed some things to go and to run their course. But now, as king of the Jews, he had to say, listen, I'll deal with the world later, but I'm first going to deal with you. And so there are things that you've got to understand, that judgment first begins at the house of God. Before God deals with the sinner, he's got to deal with the saint. He's got to get us right, get us straight, clean us up, clean us out. He's got to keep working on us and building us out. He's got to pull some stuff off us and put some stuff on us. He's got to make us everything we ought to be before he can fully deal with those on the outside. And so he comes to his own first, and he presents himself and is presented as the King of the Jews by entering the city and starting all of those things that will continue to his death. Look at that. Not only does he enter the city, but the verse reveals also that he excites the city. You see, one thing about a kingly person, a royal person, is they have that ability to excite folk. He's riding in, folk want to know, who is that? You know, if you are part of the royal family, there's a part of royalty that resides in you. It's a part of the essence of your inheritance. You, look, you ain't got to be dressed up or dressed down, but who you are and whose you are draws attention to you. You can be in a bag, you know, situation. You can look like a vagabond. You can look like a poor, ripped up, torn up part, but something about your countenance, something about the way you look will draw folks' attention to you. And that's a part of the royalty, the royalness that is in you and the royalty that you possess. People wanted to know, who was Jesus? He came low, meek, and humble. He was not dressed up to the hilt like most kings, but it was something about him that made folk pay attention to him. You're a child of the king. Everywhere you go, people ought to want to know who you are. So you tell them. I ain't no jaguar, I ain't no tiger. That's good for that shot, but that ain't what I'm talking about now. I am a Christian. A mighty, mighty Christian. I belong to the Holy Family. It ought to be clear, because something about you that's not of this world makes folk take notice to you. And so there they want to know certain things about you, and it's an invitation to witness. It's an invitation to share whose you are. Don't ever pass up the opportunity to tell folk who you are, to give an account of your stewardship and your hope. Don't ever pass up the opportunity to tell folk, you're looking at me strange. And they say, well, I just couldn't help, but that's a way for you to get in and tell them something about Jesus. If they're looking and you see them, the Holy Ghost just keep drawing their attention. And if they won't come to you, will you go on and go to them? Say, well, I know you wanted to know who I was, so I just thought I'd come over and introduce myself. Let them know who you are, because they're looking anyway. I'm talking about those who are true children of God. It's all a part of you. I'm a child of God, and let me let you know, you too, if you aren't, can be one. Now listen at this, because I want you to see, he excites the city. How does he excite the city? The Bible is clear. Verse 10 says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? You walk in a room, they want to know, who is this? Who is that? Who are you? They were moved, they were excited. And then the Bible says, verse 11, so the multitude said, this is Jesus. This was obviously to those who didn't know who he was. The prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now notice here, because I want you to see the king's proclamation. Because as we walk on through it, the Bible says in verse 12, then Jesus went into the temple of God. He comes into the city and he rides on through the city and shows up at God's house, his father's house. Look at the word now. The Bible says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Now the king's proclamation is, the temple is corrupt. He moves into the city in a kingly procession. As he gets to the church house, he gets off the donkey, goes into the house of God, and as he makes his way there, he starts taking care of business. Look again at what the Bible says. He went in and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. Listen again. And overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He had gone in before. He had seen this activity before, but now he was getting ready, as he was looking before. He came as one who was looking to educate, to inform, to enlighten as a rabbi. He was now in his role of Messiah. He was now introduced as the king. His role now changes. He is now in an authoritative role. He's getting ready to leave planet Earth, but he can't leave his father's house messed up. So before he gets ready to bail out of here after finishing what he's done, he said, let me make sure I clean out my father's house. So he does this in an authoritative manner, and does not a person present put their hands on him. Look at what the Bible says, because I want you to see this again. Verse 13 says, and he said to them, it is written. He shares with them. He proclaims the temple's corruption, but then he proclaims the temple's function. He says, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. See, that's why he did what he did. That's why he threw over the tables and chased out those who bought and sold, because what they did was being done dishonestly. They were using false weights, ripping people off, charging more than they should have, doing things in an ungodly and deceitful manner. And so he literally is straightening out and cleaning out the house of God that had now become a den, a place where people utilize the house of God for their own evil plots, plans, and profits. My brothers and sisters, if you're gonna mess over folk, the house of God isn't the place. If you're gonna rob folk, the house of God is not the place. If you're gonna use false weights and balances trying to make folk pay more than they ought to, the house of God is not the place to be. And so Jesus straightens out the mess. He says what God has called as the house of prayer. As a matter of fact, prayers can't even be heard because folk aren't even coming to pray. They're coming to play. Yeah. All right. And so the house of God that's supposed to be the house of prayer, prayer warriors feel like they're in the wrong place while thieves feel right at home. Something was wrong with this picture. And Jesus deals with this. And he says, this house is supposed to be the house of prayer. I don't care who you are, how long you've been in Christ, you ought to feel if you can't pray nowhere else. You ought to feel if I can just get to the house of the Lord, you ought to feel like no one is there judging and condemning your prayers. No, you may not pray like brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, who's been praying a long time. But whatever you've got to say, and it's from your heart, and you are sincere, you ought to know God will hear your prayer in his house. And so my brother, my sister, even as Jesus deals with this, I want you to see the Bible says, after he did what he did in verse 13, verse 14 says, then. Somebody say then. You know why healing can't take place in many of our churches? Because folk have run the healing ministry of Jesus out in substitution for some stuff of the world. Y'all ain't got to say amen about it. I know I'm right about it. You know why folk can't come here and get deliverance? Because the thing they want to get delivered from, they see folk operating in before them. You know why folk can't get the blessings they seek from the Lord? Because there are people blocking the flow of the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. They've substituted the Holy Ghost being in charge for a program that cannot be altered, because this is the way we do it in our church. But when he got the church straight, I want you to see what happened, because this is an example. When he got those that didn't belong in charge out of the place, when he got those who didn't belong in leadership out of that place, when he got those who were perpetrating, play acting, performing, and doing all sorts of stuff out of the way, then the church could do what the church was meant to do. And the Bible says, then the blind. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Ooh, glory. And the lame came to him in the temple. Listen at this. And he healed them. The Bible is that as Jesus was coming down through the streets, made his arrival at the church, he started with a cleanup session. Started cleaning up the church, and he didn't use no, you know, cleaners and all of these things and all that stuff. It wasn't the physical building he was trying to clean up. That was not the issue. It was the stuff that was in, the people that were in, and he got them out of the way, and immediately ministry began. Who do we have hindering ministry? You see, because the blind and the lame, once the church was cleaned out, I just want to throw this note out parenthetically, that the reason the real folk who need to be in church can't get in here is because you got some folk playing church who won't get out the way so they can get in here. They're playing church. They're in church. They're in places. And many of them are in positions, but they don't believe in healing. They don't believe in deliverance. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the flowing of the Holy Ghost in the service to control, to take the liberty and the ability to do things as he desires. Many of them are here because they like the position.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement